people. Who is qualified? This chapter 5 is called Purity of Devotional Service. It is somewhat misleading title. When you hear Purity of Devotional Service, what do you think? What this title conjures in your mind? Which associations do you have? Purity of Devotional Service. I must be external pure, yes. Sabina?
Yeah, it's gonna have a starch instruction.
When we hear, for example, purity of the philosophical department in the University of Ljubljana, what do you think? Purity of the philosophical department, you think?
It's pure philosophy.
Pure mathematics. Well, actually, that's what I studied, pure mathematics.
Not for everybody.
Вчера сам встречу одного приятеля, который был профессор. Там по мне взял книгу, посмотрел часы, смысл скупо напил. Так захвали. То пил.
Before. Okay, it purifies. In my head, the association is that it is very elevated. Purity of devotional service, that this is something for very, very rare, selected, super qualified people. Yes, purity.
I don't know why I dropped you, I just think something.
Yes. However, the meaning of this title, The Purity of Devotional Service, is quite different. This is what also Prabhupada discusses in Ishopanishad, in some other places. When Krishna's purity, whenever he speaks about Krishna's purity, if you remember in Ishopanishad, Krishna is Shuddham Apapavidham, pure, then Prabhupada gives hilarious translation. How do you say hilarious in Slovenian? Smeshno, this is ridiculous, but hilarious is preveč smeshno. How do you say it? Hilarious. I found jubilant in Google Translate, it says vriskajoč. But it's not. Triumfajoč they also give, yes. But it means very happy. So he gives an amazing translation. How does he translate this in Ishopanishad? Pure? He says, Krishna is... It's connected to with the joke we began with today. He says he's prophylactic and deserving. Yes. So in other words, he is so pure that not only he is pure, but he makes everything and everybody coming in touch with him also pure. So that is the idea here of purity of devotional service, that it is so pure that it purifies people. It is so pure that it does not depend on material external purity, which is actually a strange idea. You know, you have the top process, and to study, even to go to a school, any school, you have to have a children, they still have to have some kind of medical exam, right? They have to have some type of, like, that they are healthy or normal, right? Sometimes also the vaccinated, right? They want that you, the child is something, right? Then if you want to go to each next grade, you have to pass the exams or have the some marks, some level of marks. Then if you want to enter a college, you want to enter university, then it is even more complicated. So sometimes in some universities there is five candidates for each spot, sometimes 20 candidates, some places there are 100 candidates for one spot. In India this is like IIT, very famous, so they sometimes it reaches hundreds of people for one spot to enter. And then if you say that there is something even higher than that, and then you say that what is the qualification, Rupa Goswami says Nrimatra. He says as long as you are a human being, you qualify. You have you're human. Not even, you know, two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears, and you can even have less than two of each. And still no problem. Or more. Yes, in Vrindavan there is one very famous, he's called Narayan Darji, tailor. He has six fingers. he's considered very, very, that it's an advantage for him to be, because he's making clothes. So Nrimatra, just being a human. So this immediately shows that this science is different. This yoga is very much different, and it transpires, functions on a different level. Functions on a different level. So usually you have a yoga ladder. By the way, I think tomorrow we are going to discuss this on this Bhakti school. So we will have, we discussed this before. I think we have it on our website. We have the yoga school, but we will discuss it also tomorrow in the Gita beginning. So usually the normal process is that you go step by step. First, the person becomes human, civilized. So that means that the person accepts some laws, moral laws, rules, and superior law. And may still be materialistic, wanting to get things, but already with the help of the superior laws, God. Then, so this is karmakanda, yes. But then, because of purification, exposure, then he can become karma yogi, then he can become jnana yogi, then he can become dhyana yogi, so yoga of work, yoga of knowledge, yoga of meditation, and then bhakti. He can become a bhakti yogi. I remember for me it was a big discovery when I learned this. Yoga letter from the Gita. So sometimes, so for many years I thought this is how it happens, you know, step by step. And it is possible and it is helpful. However, the beauty of bhakti is that bhakti is not material. It can be performed with the material senses, and this is the next chapter, 64 angas of bhakti. It can be performed with the senses. It can be performed using time, can be performed using just material elements, offering water to Krishna, offering incense to Krishna. It's material. There's nothing non-material about incense. Sometimes it's very material. It can even be harmful, some cheap incense. In fact, I have found only over last 16 years of living in Vrindavan, I have found only one single incense that I actually always like. Every other incense, super expensive, some the most expensive incense, it smells nice once, especially if it's in your friend's house. Then you get it and it smells nice. Well, one, two times, three times, but then after some time it's not so good. But this one, Vrindavan flower, but only from one shop, Ras Bihari Lal, the bookshop in Loy Bazar. This one, no matter how many times you burn it, it's natural. There are other which are nice, but this is actually quite special. So it's material. It's material. Can be made from better or worse elements, but you can use. You can use. The mind, you can serve Krishna with the mind, you can serve Krishna with your intentions. So just remembering Krishna, that service. However, the devotional service itself does not depend on any of these. So you can see this chapter begins in a very interesting way. All of the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Everybody should get scared now. Are you scared? Of course, it means pure devotional service. Next, Prabhupada says, next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Ahaituki. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain. And it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. Apratihata. It is open for all, without any distinction. And it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. So, good news. It is already intrinsic. It's already our nature. We don't have to become something else. We have to become who we are. That's it. We just have to return completely to our true, deepest nature. And this is bhakti. This is the ultimate reality, constitutional occupation of the living entities, and nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. It's open to all. It's not limited to country, class, society, or circumstance. How do you reconcile? He starts with a little, with this scary thing about two obstacles, desire for enjoyment and desire for liberation. That if I desire liberation, or if I desire enjoyment, that I, then I cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. And then the very next sentence, he says that it's open for all. If you have desires for this, and it's like, you know, I mean, what else do we desire? Enjoyment and freedom, right? Freedom from suffering. So as long as you have these desires, you cannot enter. but it is open to all. Everybody. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction?
We can choose.
That's correct. What else? What do you think? How else can we? So can we? Okay. So I have desires to enjoy.
If we have desires to enjoy, if we still practice devotional service, it's a process of purifying.
Okay. Purifies. Yes.
Maybe also this, that we are conscious of this, our faults of this, but that we know this is not our goal.
Yes. Thank you. This is, if you remember this, Anya Bilashita. Shunyam, that it's not a top priority, it's not my main desire, it's not my goal to be the enjoyer or to be the liberated, to, you know, be merged into Brahman. So in other words, yes, I have desires, but I practice setting, choosing Krishna Bhakti as my eternal occupation. Yes, on the way to Krishna, I like a nice sabji, and I like nice pizza, but it is not my ideal for eternity, right? That just, what do they call this in Valhalla? They have this endless pig that it never ends. Valhalla in this Scandinavian heaven. It has some name, I forgot the name of this. So, of course, we are vegetarians. So, how? So we would have, but pizza is vegetarian, you know. So you know, like having an endless pizza or something. So this is. So we understand that. No, we may have whatever desires, but we set Krishna and pleasing Krishna as the goal, and then this is a practice. I may not be pure, but I practice purity in choosing Krishna and trying to do something for Krishna, and then regardless of my position, then it's possible. So Prabhupada says further, in the Middle Ages, it's very interesting, this because here, when we hear Middle Ages, it sounds like, you know, dark ages. Yes, they are even called dark ages, right? After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya's great associate, Lord Nityananda, a class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda, calling themselves the Goswami caste. They further claimed that the practice and spreading of devotional service belonged only to their particular class, which was known as Nityananda Vamsha. So this is one of the deviations, that only people born in this caste, as caste Goswamis, that only they can be gurus. Only they can be gurus. So this is, of course, completely material. Not only material, it is just a fantasy, because there is no dynasty coming from Nityananda. He had Virabhadra, but this, there are no descendants. There is no bloodline coming from Nityananda. There is a bloodline coming from Advaita Acharya, and I take great, I hope, pure pride in being a regular customer of the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Advaita Acharya, Sanjay Goswami, because I buy from him medicine. And we meet regularly in Vrindavan. I have his phone number. We can call him now if you want. I feel this this is quite cool, buying a medicine from a great-great-grandson of God. And I learned that he is actually from the family of Advaita accidentally. I didn't know. He never said, he never advertised, he never declared this. He is a super cool, humble and sweet person. Never ever mentioning anything of this. And humbly trying to do... His uncle, they are taking care of one very famous temple, Pishamera Gornitai. So when they couldn't support the temple with the donations, then he just opened, he opened one window and he started selling samosas. Just to... Very humbly, didn't... Turn his temple into business, or didn't declare that I'm a big guru. Only from me. Then, and you know, no, very humble. Very, I'm Advaita Vamsa. No, very humble. So this is, even though that's an actual bloodline. Actually, they are coming from Advaita Acharya, and not only that, they are coming from the good sons, because there were some sons which were not very philosophically astute, so to say. They had some misconceptions. But there were three sons, Gopal, Achyuta, and Krishna, who are actually, one is Kartikeya incarnation, one is Ganesh incarnation, and one is, who else? I forgot. I have to remember. Have to check in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Anyway, they are from Krishna Mishra, who is an incarnation of Skanda Kartikeya. I mean, if your great 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 grandfather was Kartikeya and his father was God, I mean, how would you feel? You know? But they are very humble. They're very humble, very sweet people. Always very kind. He's always taking half the price for whatever is there. But Nityananda Vamsa is not there, and they claim it, and until today some of them, they still have this grudge that only we, because it was a very good business, you know. They were the only people who declared that only we can give initiations, only we, nobody else. And that was, you know, like a good business. They would just give initiation. You know, like you can remember, this was what started Reformation in Europe. This is what started Protestantism, because they decided that we can just sell indulgences. You just buy and we sell you the indulgences, and you don't do any damn thing. Just pay the right price. And of course, Martin Luther and others, they were completely disappointed with it, frustrated with that, and that's how Protestantism started, and that also helped to reform Catholicism afterwards. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they stopped this nonsense, even though until today, remember, There is a place where Nityananda Vat, where you have a banyan tree. This is Champa, right?
Mm, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know ficus? There is a, so ficus is a cousin of banyan. Mm-hmm. Banyan is called ficus religiosa. But it looks a little similar to Champa. Huh?
Fig.
Fig, yes. Yeah, fig. How is it called? So there is that banyan and Nityananda Prabhu Vat. Right? So he used to be there. It's a Shingarvat, it's a beautiful place. And so I brought some guests came from Delhi and somebody asked me to show them something in Vrindavan. So we went there and I brought them in and I showed them. This is Nityananda Vat, this is Jagannath, this is where Nityananda sat, this is his deity. Here Krishna was challenged. The gopis said that you can only undo the hair. You cannot actually make a nice braid, you rascal. So Krishna said, no, I can do very nicely. And this is the place where there's a famous picture where Krishna decorates Radharani's hair. And Radharani says, let me check. But instead of looking at her hair, she looks at him. Have you seen this picture? It's a very famous picture. It's there. So that picture is there also. There is a little altar with that picture. And on top you see demigods in spaceships. You know, they're looking, watching what's happening. So I brought them there and I was showing this to them. And I don't remember. I maybe was speaking Hindi. If I don't remember which language I was speaking to them. I don't remember how well was their English. So then and we gave donation. You know, I personally put something. I usually try to. And then they naturally also they put some donations here and there. And the priest came out. And I was walking here and there, and he was, you know, listening what I'm speaking. And then he started, murmuring. He says, "These foreigners! What is this? You know, to what have we come? You know, that some foreigners, some white foreigners, they're going around and showing people here around. You know, what is this? This is such a nonsense. You know, and." In other words, he thought that only he can guide people around Vrindavan. But I told him, look, you know, if I didn't bring them here, they would never even learn that you exist. They would never even suspect that you exist and that this place exists here. And you would not get this donation, and they would not bring their friends afterwards. So this what it doesn't make sense. So this is one of very silly. It's maybe in a short run profitable, but in a long run, it's very silly idea. And they were angry at Bhaktisiddhanta Ji. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was there, they tried to kill him actually. Because he spoiled the whole business for them. Yeah, he said, not by birth, not by body, not by family, but by actually practicing four principles, devotional service, bhakti, and then you are a bhakta. And then you can also help others become bhaktas. And until today, you can see, okay, that Nityananda, we are sort of friends with them. We go there on Nityananda Trayodashi. We usually take Harinam, we go there. There is a big feast in that place. And it's, you know, we are sort of, you know, one time he just was, you know, grumbling. Not loud, you know, just but in general we have good relationships. But others, like you can see that there are some people in this most sacred place in the universe, in the most sacred lake in the universe. So they, when they see devotees, they say, oh, you are a devotee, so nice. Oh, you are Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Oh, good, good, yes, Hare Krishna, he gave you Hare Krishna. Very good, very good. But Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, I was wondering, what, you know, Bhaktivinoda, okay, Prabhupada, okay, Bhaktisiddhanta, oh. They are like, oh, they cannot tolerate. I couldn't understand. You know, what's the problem? You know, why Prabhupada is okay and Bhaktivinoda is okay? Why before and after, all right, but because he is the one who spoiled the whole fun for those Apasampradayas. He stopped that good system of family gurus, caste Goswamis. And Srila Prabhupada, as the follower here, he's also defeating that that idea. It is on the basis of this, of his position, he says, Bhaktisiddhanta, that anyone can now become a Gaudiya Vaishnava from any part of the world or any part of the universe. If you happen to be not from Earth, no problem. If some of you are from a different planet, okay, it's okay. You can, you're not excluded. Even if it's some unpopular planet. What, they have these conspiracy theories that there are some reptiloids. Yeah, something. No problem. If you do bhakti, you can. Anyone. It's actually quite funny, Prabhupada says, from any part of the world or any part of the universe. You can see Prabhupada looks far. He writes for a long perspective. Not just any part of the world. Prabhupada thinks, no, world okay, but the universe, you know. We should think also about it. Actually, this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Ji also says. He says that after we finish on Earth, we will go preach on other planets too. He says like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So you can see by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and because I remember when I was a student, I was curious very much about the philosophy, yoga, and I went to a library. Now it's maybe difficult to believe, but like 30 years ago, information was priceless. It especially like in communist bloc, in the communist bloc, some books were just unavailable completely. They you couldn't get them, but I had a friend librarian. And it was also, you know, and you had to be able to read between the lines, you know. They would smash somebody, describe, he's such and such rascal, he says this and this, and this is very wrong according to Marxism. And you would, so you would have to revert this, put it the other way around, and then this, this is what he says. Okay, makes sense. So you would have to, like read it with a mirror, you know, sort of say. If they condemn something, then you can say, this is something maybe good. So I remember I read this book on Indian philosophy, and there was a history, and it was describing Brahmanism, and there it was describing that, okay, they worship the Supreme Absolute Brahman spirit, but exclusively people born in Brahman families, only they can be accepted as disciples. Only they. And only these people can study the Upanishads. And I remember, I clearly remember, I was sitting there in the library, or she gave it to me to take home, I don't remember. It was a blue book. And I remember reading this, and I remember thinking that if they actually understand spirit, if they see that I want to learn spirit, about spirit, they will accept me. I remember, I thought, it cannot be. If they speak about spirit, they cannot be limited by the body, by birth. How can they be so gross, physical, grossly physical, if they speak about Brahman, if they speak about spirit? I remember, I couldn't accept that, this caste consciousness. So I thought, I should get to India. I should get to India, and I'm sure I can find a real Brahmanas who really know Brahman, really know spirit, and really can. They will agree. So Prabhupada, so kind that he came to the West, and he sent devotees to the street, and yes, so. I didn't have to go to search. Prabhupada came and he said, and you can see in India, when Prabhupada started, then he was severely criticized. They said that you are destroying Indian Hinduism by initiating Westerners. But then Prabhupada says, no, Krishna says in the Gita, he doesn't say, Janma karma vibhagasha. He says guna karma vibhagasha, based on your guna qualities and on your karma, on your activities, not by birth, not by body. Yes, body has an influence. Yes, birth has an influence, but you are a spirit, you're not the body. So you can act in a pure way. You can behave in a pure way. You can develop good qualities. And you can see that Srila Prabhupada actually managed to change this.
And he brought white elephants.
Pardon?
He brought white elephants.
Yes. Prabhupada says, the so-called Brahmanas claim that one who is not born into a Brahmana family cannot receive the sacred thread and cannot become a high-grade Vaishnava. But we do not accept such a theory because it is not supported by Rupa Goswami nor by the strength of the various scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami specifically mentions herein that every man has the birthright to accept devotional service and to become Krishna conscious. Every man and woman. He has given Gayatri to two women, and now we are finding some evidence that it was also done before. He has given many evidences from many scriptures. One from Padma Purana, my dear king, everyone has the right to execute devotional service just as he has the right to take early bath in the month of Magh. It's very cold. This is one famous austerity. Tapasya. What is Japonski tapas? Today we were on Harinam and I saw on that cafe, they said some Japanese tapas. Yeah? Okay. In Sanskrit, it means austerity. So
it's a Spanish expression for different dishes preparations in small plates.
Ah, okay. So everybody has right. So Rupa Goswami proves this. And you can see that Srila Prabhupada has managed over 50 years to change the opinion in India. Yes, it's becoming more and more accepted. I think I shared some stories from India. I don't know how. I remember once that was 20 years ago. I was in a train and I was coming from the toilet, and I was pulling out my thread, and one old Indian gentleman was looking at me and he says, "You have a thread?" And I said, "Well, Guru Kripa. Guru gave me Kripa, he gave me Diksha, and with Diksha initiation he gave me the thread." And he says, "Yeah, that's how it works. Guru gives Kripa, then everything works, yes." So he accepted that, okay, yes, by mercy of Guru it's possible. In Pushkar, one of the top hippie places, there is an ancient Krishna temple, and there is a big sign on the entrance, by the decree of governor in 1874, it's declared that no foreign national can enter the temple. And then we came in, and the guards immediately stopped us. And they said, "You look, 200 years, nobody's." And I said, "Look, we are Vaishnavas." He says, "I don't know anything. Anyway, I'll call the director." So he calls the director, and one Indian in glasses came, and he says, "You say you are Vaishnava?" He says, "Yes." "Are you initiated?" "Yes." "You have a guru?" "Yes." "You got a mantra, right?" "Yes." "Which sampradaya?" "Brahma Madhva Gaudiya." "And who is your guru?" "Param guru this, this guru this, this guru that." He says, "Well, he can go." So, you know, we went to the temple, nice temple of Krishna, and the pujari was, you know, cleaning the altar, and then he turns. He doesn't close the deed, you know, what to do. And the guard comes back and he says, "You know, the director said it's okay." So then he smiled and came young. So I felt that we are the first to see the deity. And in some temples they actually do not allow tourists, like Shiranga. Oh, this is from Shiranga, by the way. Vishnu is lying down. They don't allow tourists, but they allow ISKCON devotees. So it took them like 20 years to figure out that, yes, we chant, we follow the principles, we believe in that deity is not an idol, right? So because even for the tourists themselves, if they come and think that this is an idol, you know, it's not, it's offensive for them too. Also, there were stories when they stole, apparently, one of the most famous diamonds in the world. It was stolen by a Portuguese sailor who became servant in a temple. And he brought it to, he stole it from the temple. Huge diamond, and it's now kept, it belongs to the British Crown, and it's passed only through female line, because every male who had it died some gruesome death. They were some heavy curse on that. So therefore, only queen gives to the princess only through the female line, because then the curse is not so heavy on that line. But if it goes to any man, then each owner over the last three centuries died some terrible death. Was destroyed. So that side also you can understand them, that they may have reservations about. And until today, like just a couple years ago, they found in Padmanabhasami, Trivandrum, Tiruvananthapuram, the biggest treasure in the world, like $5 billion, $4 or $5 billion in gold and jewels. They opened just one little room in the basement. There is, I think, 12 more, but they decided to wait. because the government immediately tried to seize this money. So you can see that now it's changing. Prabhupada has brought Bhaktisiddhanta ji, Srila Prabhupada has brought some reason that this is not by body, it's not by birth, it's by actual behavior, by consciousness, by your principles. Right? If your principle is serving Krishna, then this is then you are a brahmana. Prabhupada says in the Gita, impersonalist is someone who knows spirit. A devotee is someone who acts as spirit. Yeah, because what is spirit? Spirit means serve Krishna. Yeah? So this is. Another time we went to in Dwaraka. Near Dwaraka there is one of the 12 Jyotirlingams, Shiva temples, Nageshwar Mahadev, in a cave. So there is a barrier, and like 50 meters down there is a Shiva Lingam. So me and my friend, we came there, and then I got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shivashtakam. And I wanted to chant, and we were standing before the barrier, and then immediately the pujaris came from the altar, and they said, "Why are you standing here?" They opened the barrier, and they come in, and they took the two of us, you know, all these hundreds of Indians from super brahminical families. They were standing up. He closed the barrier. He took us, took us into the altar. He said, "You can sit and chant your prayers here." Then he went away, and then he came back with a, you know, silver bucket, and he said, "You want to do Abhishek?" And so yes, we were sitting right, you know, in front of this Nageshwar Mahadev, and we were allowed to wash him with water. So you can see they didn't invite anybody else. Of course, nobody else was also in Dhoti. Well, maybe one or two or three, not many. But you can see that it's changing. Of course, there is a backlash, there is a reaction. Even in ISKCON, just recently one very famous preacher started preaching that only Brahma... So like 3 years ago, there's a big debate. It's already a law in GBC that women can be gurus. It's common sense, you know, we are not the body. Our sampradaya comes from a woman, Tyananda Prabhu's wife. In our sampradaya, we have like, you know, in all of these sampradayas, we have like 20 to 40% female gurus. It can be, you know, so... maybe not many, but I mean, there's no question about the principle of possibility. So now it's a very big controversy all of a sudden. And then, naturally, the next step, 2 years ago, the guy who was arguing this, one of these things, he started arguing not only that, only very logical next step, only Indians can be gurus, and not only that, only brahmanas. Only those born in the Brahmin families can be gurus. Well, yes, because they are qualified. They are. It was on our plate last year, and these arguments are defeated thousands of times, but fortunately, this person just declared that he's no longer ISKCON, so that we don't have to argue with him. Very obvious that he's not a follower of Srila Prabhupada. His own guru is not born in a Brahmin family. There was a joke. Before that, we had one like that in Vrindavan. He was from Vrindavan. He was Indian. He was from a Brahmin family. And he also started saying that only Indians, only Brahmins, Brijbasis. So there was an ISKCON joke. Not only that, they should have six toes on their foot, because he had six toes on his So only such can be allowed. Of course, he's also long and far away, somehow or other. So, as far as the Shastra is concerned, it's all very, very clear that we are souls, and therefore it's based on that's the purity of bhakti, that it does not depend on the bodily obstacles. No body condition is an obstacle to join bhakti. Any questions or comments here? That's very rare. That happened, maybe like 5 times. Because he, one time was when he arrested some poor bhakta, because this bhakta came to Jagannath Puri and he was hungry. He came with his wife, I think, and then he was hungry, so therefore in the night, I think the whole family was there. And he, I don't remember, but he, I remember that some boy came and brought a big plate with food. And he said, look, I have food, please take. And he said, you keep the plate, I'll take later. And in the morning, pujaris found that the golden plate in which they offer prasad to Jagannath disappeared. So they started searching, and they found that this beggar in the street, he's sleeping on that plate. So they arrested him, and they declared him a thief. So then in the night, the deity came to the king and said, look, those things that I have in the temple, are they mine? Yes, my lord. Can I do whatever I want with them? My lord, they are yours. So why do you arrest that devotee? I have given him this plate. Make him, immediately make him free. And he, Prabhuji, Krishna came, brought you. So that was one occasion like this. But that's rare. It's not that, every third of the month, king has a schedule, okay, Jagannath comes and, all right, so next month, that's exceptional.
Саме з космотрим ісключування Восума Тешко не бач сак кінічист мора митне коскупіну, яке ісключує, не бач на тим все заснує наша ідентитет. Не чи мамо ще все канче важне галеки, мамо туди не коскупіну, от катере се хочемо дистанцірати, не бач все приймання пази. То тогда бисто я вірю, то не ізокідно. До найвищого нивоа, мислим, пач мадя на...
Туди на найвищим нивою. Like Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want to drink from a cup from the other gopis garden.
Само то су бли други разлоги, транси. Мислим, само пач матеріалом, вен, мене сильно гре, скоро вину негде не живеться, все негде, все ай, бачимо. Ми там то толерує.
The main point is that we do not stop anybody's right for bhakti. And everybody has a right for bhakti. This is the point. We can organize people differently. Okay, people with this nature doing that, with this nature doing this. It's okay. But the right to chant, the right to advance, that's... Yes. This is the point. Look around.
So this concept we mentioned, that if I have desires but I choose Krishna Bhakti as my main goal and ideal for eternity, this is very nice indeed. But I can't remember where would this be explicitly stated in the scriptures. Maybe you can help me.
This is our 111. The most important verse. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadena vritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. So anya bilashita. So he doesn't say anya bilasha. That uttama bhakti, our practice, which can be practiced by three types of candidates, Uttam, Madhyam, and Kanishta, but all three are candidates for Uttam Bhakti, for pure Bhakti. Then it's made pure by Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam, not covered by Jnana Karma. This is the next topic here. Anya Bilashita Shunyam, free from other desires. So usually, it's the usual translation, no other desires. But if you go to Sanskrit, and if you especially check the commentaries by Jiva and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, then you can see that they point out it says Anya Bilashita. Because if it were Anya Bilasha, Cha Shunyam, Vai Shunyam, you don't need Hi Shunyam, you don't need this for the meter, for the poetry. That has a meaning there. So it indicates that not the person is free from other desires, but the person is free from other habitual or constant or constitutional principal desires. So this is where it's described in that 111. So commentaries to 111, that's where it's described. And another one, very famous, in the Bhagavad Gita, apichet sudur acharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavyak samya vyavasito hisa, saying that even a person doing very bad things must be considered a saint, sadhu, if two things: the goal is right, ananya bhak, and the path is right. So the goal is Krishna Bhakti, the path is Krishna Bhakti. So the person, you know, may make, maybe, that's another one. The Bhagavatam, 11th canto, so that's 9:30. And in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Krishna says that my devotee sometimes cannot resist his senses, but he understands the imperfect, the illusory nature of the imperfect nature of the material world, and therefore he should happily continue worshipping me, and then he will be victorious ultimately. And Krishna says very interestingly, he should happily continue, which is quite interesting. That's in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. So it's not a license to do nonsense, but it's also does not leave us excuse not to do bhakti. Oh, I'm too bad, I'm too... Yeah, I made, like, in the commentary to that 9:30, Apichet Sudaracharo, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, I am a black spot for devotees. Let me go to hell. But I will never give up bhakti. I will never give up Krishna. I will never give up devotional service. So he doesn't exploit bhakti, right? So we should not exploit. But at the same time, we should not leave. Because then it would mean that my dirt is stronger than Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is strong, okay, yes. But my dirt, ah. Oh.
A Ker pol v bistvu mi Krišna nikoli ne svetuje občutka krivda pa slabo mesta.
Slabo. He does. In that 11th canto, he says, Garhayan, the devotee repents. He thinks, oh, why this is wrong, I shouldn't have done this. But he says, yeah, he repents means understands, doesn't lie to himself. No, no, I'm good. Yes, I do these bad things, but I'm good. But Krishna says he should be positively moving forward. Repentance is there. This is also a way of purification. By repenting, you are already purifying yourself. In Sanskrit, it's called anutap. It depends. Yeah. It can, if we created suffering from others, then maybe some reaction comes. Prabhupada writes there that maybe the person will have to experience, be born in some disadvantageous situation, but his bhakti will be not stopped, he will be able to continue. So some reaction can be there if necessary. If sometimes it's enough to just be purified from the heart. So it means this repentance, thinking, oh, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this. And sometimes that's enough. And then you are cleared, and then you can move on.
You mentioned this 9:30 from Gita, and one was from Uddhava Gita, right? Maybe you know which.
11:20:28.
What was this verse? 11:28.
11:20:28. Yeah, there are two verses together, 27:28. Yes, this is the Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. So, you can see Srila Prabhupada rejects the false idea. This is one type of apasampradayas, limit bhakti based on bodily concepts. There is a famous verse, yatha kanchanatam yati rasa kamsa kamsa rasa vidhanata tata diksha vidhanana vijatam jayatenrinam. Just like in an alchemical process, bell metal with mercury turns into gold. In the same way, by diksha, any human can be made into a brahmana, twice born. So it's quite interesting also how Srila Prabhupada refers to alchemy, because alchemy was also a spiritual discipline. The gold that's mentioned in alchemy is not just gold for getting wealth. It's very famous that this is the symbol of transformation of the soul from base metals, from some ordinary nature to divine nature. That's actually a whole process. It says that you have to catch the red lion and cut off his head, and then it turns into a green dragon and takes you to the sky. So this is control of the senses, which transforms into control of the mind, which can bring you to a higher level of consciousness. This is from European alchemy. this.
And this European alchemy was, has its roots in the Egyptian, because I think Arabs called the Egyptians this word alchemet.
Yeah.
Alchemet, they derived this word alchemet.
Yes, yes. Yeah, from
I don't know the details, but this is what I remember at this moment.
Well, the thing is that in the Middle Ages, amazingly enough, Arabs were the ones who kept lots of sciences. A lot of Latin texts survived only in Arabic. They were in Spain, oftentimes in this Mediterranean region and in Spain, and they were quite into medicine and all the other things. It seems that only much later Islam has become, anti-progressive, so to say.
There was one article about the Vedic parents of the Middle East, the Arab name. It's quite a detailed article.
Yeah, and we call the Roman numerals and Arabic numerals.
Which came from
India, yes. Actually, they are Indian numerals, yes. And just switching to another notation system for the numerals, immediately mathematics takes off, business takes off, because now accounts can be kept. Because in Romans, it's impossible to add, subtract, multiply. It's completely impractical. Just change it to the decimal Indian system and everything takes off. Yes. So everybody can be transformed. And in Bhagavatam 1.2.20, Srila Prabhupada writes that you cannot be a Vaishnava without being a Brahmana. So in other words, we are supposed to develop qualities. But this is what Prabhupada says. Thus a Vaishnava automatically becomes a Brahmana. So this goes two ways. It means that Brahmanas should not stop Vaishnavas, that we should become Vaishnavas, but also it means that we need to check ourselves, are we becoming actually Brahminical? Prabhupada says, Srila Rupa Goswami warns, however, that if a person is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he should not think that simply by the acceptance of such initiation, his business is then finished. That's it. Ah, initiation received. Ah, phew, that's work done. Now I can't do any damn thing. One still has to follow the rules and regulations very carefully. If, after accepting the spiritual master and being initiated, one does not follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, then he is again fallen. One must be very vigilant to remember that he is part and parcel of the transcendental body of Krishna. So you should be vigilantly remembering, you are part and parcel of the transcendental body of Krishna. You remember? And that it is his duty as part and parcel to give service to the whole, or Krishna. If we do not render service to Krishna, then again we fall down. In other words, simply becoming initiated does not elevate one to the position of a high-class brahmana. One has to discharge the duties and follow the regulative principles very rigidly. So, these are, what are the regulative principles mentioned here? We use it as a term referring to the four regulative principles. However, here, regulative principles first and foremost refer to the next chapter, 64 Angas of Bhakti, 64 principles, practices.
Also sure. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says in the 12th chapter,
yes. Yes, 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 yes. It means practices of bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, hearing, chanting, like, you know, in, like just not drinking in itself, or not taking heroin in itself is not, you know, practicing bhakti. It's good to not drink, but in itself this is not yet practice of bhakti. So Jiva Goswami says that here it means the first 20 principles plus 5 main elements of bhakti. 5 most powerful. What are the 5 most powerful? Holy name, Bhagavatam, holy place, worshipping the deity, associate with devotees, yes. So these 5, these always have to be performed, plus the first 20, they're in the next chapter. They're also in the easy journey to other planets. Do we have this in Slovenian, easy journey to other planets?
Oh no, Croatian.
Today in the Harinam we were passing this Space Expo. I thought we should bring them this easy journey to other planets. We have an easy way. They've included it in it. Okay. It's a beautiful little book which Prabhupada made as an article in his Back to Godhead before going to the West. And it also has so these 20 elements of first steps of bhakti included there. So they are mentioned by Jiva Goswami as these regulative principles, because they are regulative principles. They are like being respectful, being equipoised. Of course, they start the main 3 ones. The first 3 ones is approach a guru, take initiation, and take instructions. These first 3, that's the beginning. Naturally, that's the beginning of the process. Right? But if any, the 5 most potent are the most essential. All right. Then Prabhupada speaks about karma, jnana, and bhakti. He says, practically, there are 3 processes for elevating one to the platform of spiritual consciousness. So 3 paths, karma, jnana, and bhakti. And karma and jnana are necessary only for people who have no faith. And you can see that they are opposites. Karma basically is enjoy, jnana basically is renounce. But bhakti is a synthesis, because it's neither enjoy nor renounce. You use everything, but not for ourselves, it's for Krishna. So therefore, bhakti is the synthesis and is the higher path of elevation, bhakti. And one thing that's required, before it was said, attraction, interest here, faith. Jata Shraddha Matkata. So if one just has faith, that bhakti, it's quite interesting that, you know, if you have faith that bhakti is powerful, then bhakti can show her full power. even these karma and jnana, they work only because there is some drop of bhakti. But then Bhakti Devi looks at these people and thinks, oh my God, you know, if I don't give them at least, you know, their results, they'll just go to hell. They are not respectful, they are offensive. But anyway, let them have these karma results, jnana results. So they at least get, so even that comes by a little teeny drop of mercy of bhakti. But if we are not doubting bhakti, if you are not offending bhakti, then she can give full blessings. Then she can fully bestow all the blessings. Therefore, the previous paragraph says that even if you make a mistake, you are not required to perform some special prayaschita or special separate purificatory procedure. You just need to continue. That's the main thing. Right? The main thing is you continue. That in itself, the Prabhupada says, this is the mystery of the Vaishnava devotional cult. This is the mystery. And this is the great power of bhakti. And it's super pure. Again, this is the purity of bhakti, right? This is the purity of bhakti, that it purifies everybody. Now, the next is some mention, some discussion of Varnashram, and some 11th canto is discussed. You can see this is confirmed also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 32, in which the Lord says to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instructions, giving up all occupational duties, is to be considered the first class man." This is a very interesting verse, which is one of those verses which was very disturbing for me. This was a verse, and also this is a passage in the Nectar of Devotion, which was very disturbing, and I didn't like it. Because it says, actually in the original, it goes even further. In the original, you have a list of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, famous list, given in the Bhagavatam, in purports, Prabhupada gives it three or four times. It comes here, in this 11th canto. It's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's there in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's in many places. And after describing these qualities, this is the verse Krishna tells Uddhava. He says that one who has them is highest Vaishnava. One who develops them is the highest Vaishnava. One who doesn't care about them is even higher. And one who doesn't even have a concept of these qualities is the highest. I always wait a minute, you know, what is this? You know, it does it, I mean, it, shouldn't we develop some, I mean, shouldn't we, these are Vaishnava qualities, you know, like Kripalu, Akrita, Droha, non-envious, merciful, humble, self-controlled.
I was really puzzled. In Bhagavad Gita, in John chapter, I think 17-18, in purport it says that one should not acquire to achieve these qualities, but simply, Krishna says, simply serve me.
Yes.
And in 16th chapter, this is more like Sanatana Dharma, and 12th chapter, but in 16th chapter it describes like Varnashrama Dharma and this.
So you're also bothered, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so dear ex-yogis from previous life, we are bothered by that. That bothers us.
Ananta Prabhu gave us to pick some qualities to work on. And I was like, why? You know, why? And then I was reading this and I was like, aha, one should not, acquire to get this.
Yes, so if you were, to have a roommate, uh-huh. Which would you prefer? A roommate who tries to work on being tolerant, not angry, peaceful, kind, merciful? Or a roommate who says, I am a devotee. To hell with this. Which would you choose? Right? Isn't it? That's why it bothers me. However, this is just the question of the principle. And it doesn't mean that we should be dirty, angry, and unkind and cruel and so forth. No, it just, first of all, shows, it's emphasized that out of all of those list of 26 qualities in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually it's 28 in the Bhagavatam, but usually it says 26, a root quality is Krishnaika Sharanam, shelter in Krishna. Krishna is the only shelter. Krishna is the only shelter. And this is the core, Svarupa Lakshana, the essence. And all the 25 other qualities, they are the secondary results of that one. So Krishnaika Sharanam, it doesn't mean that I just put a badge, Krishna devotee. Prabhu, I am a Krishna's devotee. Or even better, I am a Radharani's devotee. Ha ha, and you? Or, you know, whatever. I know, I'm just exaggerating this into...
In the sense that, like you said, that, for instance, if you practice like bhakti, then all these qualities automatically will come. It's not like I need to work on this specific quality right now.
Now this is a good point, which is not so dry and cut and dry. This is what Prabhupada says here in the next. It is understood that people who are generally attracted to philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, political, and social welfare activities may be considered nice men only in the calculation of the material world. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic scriptures, we learn further that if a person simply acts in Krishna consciousness and discharges devotional service, he is considered to be far, far better situated than all of those persons engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, and social welfare activities. We have seen this misused so many times. I remember I joined, I didn't want to pay bus fare. You know, we go on a bus, we, you know, why should I give Krishna's money for some stinking bus, you know? Not stinking, but, you know, it's karmi bus, you know? And is it a good preaching or not? Should we pay or not?
Yes.
Of course, you know, it's oftentimes enforced, but the problem is that we may, instead of putting faith into bhakti and being humble ourselves, we put faith into our exalted position and become proud and give a bad name to bhakti by not manifesting these qualities. So it says automatically. So automatically. Automatically means how much time should it take? So I take japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So how much after that I should be kind, merciful, not cruel, tolerant, deep, and so forth? It says automatically. So how long? 1 day, 1 year?
Whatever is possible.
1 hour?
Let's
I understand it like this. it comes from this practice, not from separating there.
Thank you for mentioning this word separate, because when Prabhupada says you don't need to work on these qualities, he uses this particular word. You don't have to work on these qualities separately. How about working on these qualities, in an integral way with bhakti? Because we see, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's complaint. He says, the holy name is all powerful, all the shaktis are there, everything is there. There's no rules even. Nakala etadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamapi, you're so merciful. Dur daiva mi dishami hajani nanuraga, but I am so unfortunate, no attraction, no taste, no attachment. So what's the solution? In the Shikshashtaka, are you singing in the morning? Trinadapi sunice na tarori vasa hishnuna amani na manade na kirtani asadahari. He gives four qualities. But I eventually found a grammatical solution to this problem. The grammatical solution is that, I think I already wrote it sometimes, that these qualities, they are not a separate object. They are not a separate, or karma and jnana, or, you know, or a process, or a method. If we take it as a separate process, it can become Jnana Mishra Bhakti, which is still good. If bhakti is the goal, it's Pradhanya Bhakti, it's super powerful, it's very nice, it's better than neglectful bhakti, but it will not be Uttama Bhakti. So they're not what, but they are, these four qualities are in Orodnik. Mm-hmm. Which means this is how you do bhakti. So what you do is bhakti. So what should be bhakti? You know, this must be bhakti. So the process is pleasing Krishna. What I do is bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But how I can do? I can do Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare. You don't look respectful enough. And I say, come, and you say, Prabhuji, Nectar Devotion says, you know, automatically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? And we often do like this. That's how I often think. I think I'm a bhakta, you know, therefore I should have the priority. It's natural, you know, byproduct of the materialistic consciousness. So therefore, these qualities are important. They are important. But they are important as, on one side, as a test. Am I moving in the right direction? Am I getting... I claim I'm a bhakta. So where is the automatic side effect?
Pa mogoče tako je v šikšastek zaporedene, da smo, da je nujen del tega, da sploh imamo kvalitete, v bistvu zavest o naši padnosti. they're tot wrong, ne? Deci, da sunt mușelea potului, in padlo, da mi mam calitate, nimeni. Deci,
and zavedeti to je kvaliteta. Zavest o tem je kvaliteta. It's already a qualification. If I'm humble, that's humility. Poniznost. So, we must pay attention to that. Of course, you know, the order is first chant. God, you know, how do you say this? Box to boy, you know, it's whatever it is. Anyway, our ISKCON word, anyway. just chant, you know. Just be proud, okay, but start chanting, okay? Start chanting. Proud, this, that, but start, okay? Then, after you start, then the next step, okay, can you chant humble? Keep chanting, but humble? Is it possible? Respectful? Can you do this? But first, you can see, start chanting in any way, somehow or other. Because we have faith that without bhakti, everything is, one can be humble or whatever. It's useless. Ultimately, one will still die, and next life one can be still a humble, who is humble? Hamster? The rats are not so humble.
Not rats, blade of grass.
Blade of grass, yes. Our champaka, very fragile, delicate champaka. Or our brother Kari. I know he's a seventh year student. And he is contributing always to our lunch. Yes? Yes? Yeah. Yes? Yes?
Yeah. You know, when sometimes in school it's a topic which is repeated over and over again, and the teacher says, the birds are singing this.
Yes, even the Kari heard this. So, if so, one thing, these qualities are on one side a test, a marker for our progress to mark, are we moving forward? So they are markers, because if they automatically are supposed to automatically come, where are they? And second of all, they are modalities of pure bhakti. Yeah. So it means, yes, bhakti is main thing. Bhakti is the main thing. Modality. Modality is just means how, manner. How you do. In which mode you do. So they are modalities of pure bhakti. So it's important to put our faith into bhakti. But I can cheat myself. I can think that pure bhakti is all powerful, is all wonderful, and is the only thing you need. And since I do bhakti, therefore, you know, I am so important. So therefore, it's you know, it's the mind trick of our false ego. They build some new false ego. So therefore they are given. And therefore no progress, no taste. We veer away, we advance very slow, we offend devotees. And Krishna says, you know, there are so many Yomam sarvesu bhuteshu santam atmanam ishvaram hitvarcham bhajate modhyad atman eva juhotis basman eva juhotisa. He says, if somebody worships me in a worshipable form but neglects me in the hearts of others, his worship is like pouring oblations into ash, offering ghee, not into the fire, but into ash. It doesn't burn. It's not offered.
Where is this? 329. I think also from the third temple, it's this, just like you know, said it, then he said it. Person who neglects me, neglects
yeah.
Me, he's something like a cheater, I think.
Yeah, Kuru Tercha Vidambanam. His worship is like a spectacle, like a drama. That's the previous verse. And this is 329.22. It's very important verse. And this is the difference between Kanishta and who is just a shadow, and the Madhyama, right? Respecting 329.22. You can also read 11th canto, 29th chapter. This 29th chapter seems to be. It concludes Kapila Shiksha, it concludes Uddhava Shiksha, and they both emphasize this same point. Respect. To others. Respect to others. So, this is a subtle point. So yes, if you have to place, if my brain capacity is very narrow, if I cannot combine these two, okay, if just one bit memory, you know, just then okay, just remember bhakti, okay, just this. However, as I want to advance, then I need to think why, if qualities are not necessary, why do we have 20 lists of qualities in the Gita? Why do we have 120 lists of qualities in the Bhagavatam? Why do we have these four qualities in Shikshashtaka, which is the very, very short, concise instruction for advancing in spiritual life, if they are automatic, not necessary, and so forth? Because they are modalities of pure bhakti. And since my bhakti is not immediately, automatically pure, they help me, first of all, check whether I am doing the right thing, and second of all, adjust. So I'm actually proud. Actually I'm disrespectful. So maybe I should be more, I should try to respect a little. Actually Krishna is in the heart also. Or as Radha Govinda Maharaj jokes, that in the deity Krishna may or may not be there. Yes? In the temple. He may be there or may not be there. But in the heart, he's definitely there. That's his joke. Because in the deity, you have to call him, do the pran pratishta, and then there's a ceremony, and then you should not offend him. If you offend him, he may leave. From there was Chaitanya Lila, Ramdas Abhiram. He was checking. He would offer obeisances, and if the deity was empty, the deity would crack. And Pochi, huh? And so therefore all the pujaris were very afraid of Ramdas Abhiram. And little Raghunandan, son of Mukunda, he was running away 12 kilometers from Ramdas Abhiram because he wanted to see him and offer obeisances, and little Raghunandan was saying, my head will crack if he offers obeisances to me. I'm not a true Vaishnava. Anyway, so this is just an interesting point. So on one side, we do not It's a fine, subtle thing. I honestly say it took me 20 years of struggle with this concept. Because materially, we are very dual. We think that it's either zero or one. It's either yes or no. It's either black or white. Right? So should I do qualities? Okay, I do qualities. Or should I? Okay, I don't do qualities. Right? So what should I do? Should I do qualities? Should I not do qualities? But it's the same yoga paradox, right? That work without working. So in the same way, these qualities, they are not the process, they are not the method separately, but they are the modalities, they are how we perform our bhakti, because that's offenseless bhakti. That's how we do bhakti that Krishna likes. So if I want to please Krishna, then Krishna likes that, you know, we are clean, that we are controlled, that we are respectful, merciful, and so forth, right? It's natural. He says he likes these qualities. In that 12th chapter, he says, I love these qualities. So if he loves these qualities and I want to please him, then what will I do with these qualities? I want to make him happy, and he says, I love a devotee who has these qualities is very, very dear to me. Yamad bhakta samepriya. And then at the end he says, Yetu dharma, 20th chapter, 12th chapter, 20th verse, Yetu dharma amrita medame toktam periupasate sradad dhanamat paramabhaktaste tiva mepriya. He says, anybody who even just desires to follow this path of bhakti with such qualities is not only dear, but he is very, very dear to me. Ativa, like Indians say, too much dear. Because they in Hindi, zyada or adhik has both meanings. It means very much and it means too much. So therefore they mix sometimes. So they say too much. They say I love you too much. I like it too much. It means very much. when Indians say this. So Krishna says he likes this, so therefore, at least these four, Trinada, Pisunichana, Tarorivasna, humble, tolerant, and respectful.
So this should be integrated.
Yeah. This is how we do bhakti. Yeah, this is how we do bhakti. This is not separate, it's not that I leave japa, leave books, and then I go take a course how to be humble. Then that would be...
Without bhakti, there is no reason to be humble at all. Take all the order.
And one other thing that's rejected here is varnashram. Varnashram, again, is here rejected as, again, same as the qualities. Varnashram is rejected as the method. It's not rejected as a helpful social system. It's certainly the best social system, Daivi Varnashram. If it's permeated by yoga, divine Varnashram, yes, then it's the best system, not Asuri Varnashram, not caste system. Varnashram is meant for cooperation, Prabhupada says. But as a process, as a method, then we have the famous verse, Sanushtitasya Dharmasya, Vasudeva Katharuchih, Not Padaya Dediratim, Shramaiva Hi Kevalam. We can be perfect in our Varnashram duties, but if performing this work, we Varnashrama, if we do not develop Katharuchi, a taste for Krishna Katha, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It's not Varnashrama, it's just Shrama. Shrama means fatigue, tiredness, work. Just useless work, and it says Eva Hi Kevalam. Three words, each of which mean only. It's empty work, only. Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Eva means only, he means only, Kevala means only. It's not Varnashrama, it's just Shrama. Hare Krishna. But again, we do not reject Varnashrama as a social system. As a social system, okay. But same as Prabhupada will speak again a little later that vegetarianism is not, we don't, non-violence. We do not work separately on non-violence, right? But what is the first regulative principle? He makes us vow to follow at initiation. He says, no, we don't work on non-violence. No, no, the vegetarianism, this is not part of bhakti. What is the first principle he makes? I vow, no meat, fish, or eggs. So again, right? It's not how you become perfect. It's not a method. It's not a process, but it's helpful. It's, and because Prabhupada is brilliant, he knows if he doesn't make it specific, he says, I'm non-violent, yes. I eat meat only on Mondays. I'm vegetarian, you know, in principle. Yes, and so with everything. So Prabhupada makes it very, very specific. So in the same way with the, with these qualities. So you can, in that 29th chapter, there is a beautiful comment on that by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha. So he says, therefore, because one worshipping without respect to others is just doing a spectacle, just doing pouring oblations into ash. Therefore, he says, there is a rule. You must practice respect. And then he says, but for bhaktas, this rule is not there. It's not necessary. Because it's automatic. And then he says, and then I thought, wow, again, it's automatic, you know, how is this automatic? But then he says, why? Because a bhakta is someone who has faith, shraddha. And having faith, you may remember, Krishna, is understanding that Krishna is the absolute truth. And therefore, he is not only in my japa beadbag, he is also in your heart. And it is the same Krishna. He's my worshipable Lord. So therefore, if I want to worship Krishna, I should, not step on your toes either. And not kick you or so forth. Something like that. So, it's an appearance day of Shiva Thakur, good occasion for us to meditate on Krishna, present in our midst through the name and in everybody's heart always. Yeah, and so we are therefore practicing respect and humility. Alright? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you so much. Panchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhyas Vachapatitanam.